You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Mason and I are on the Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I think this is the time of the show where I'm going to get pretty beat up. I've suggested that maybe the Dodgers don't celebrate things like division titles and only celebrate big when they win the World Series. Here's Wayne in West Covina. Hey, Wayne, party or don't party? What do you think?
Oh, party. Why, they've been partying ever since it began. Why, I heard a broadcast when they celebrated it with champagne back in the 60s. When the Dodgers won the pennant in 1966 and lost the World Series to Baltimore, yeah, they had a celebration.
Right. All right. Thanks, Wayne, for the phone call. But, Andy, back then, if you won the pennant, you went to the World Series. This is, we made the postseason with 14 other teams.
I mean, have all the other teams, other than those Jeter Yankees that you revere, have they all, eventually the team that
most
won the World Series,
most,
they celebrated every round.
Yeah, most teams celebrate every round. Here is Ricardo in Sierra Madre. Hey, Ricardo, you're on ESPN LA.
Hey, Don, I totally agree with you.
What?
I don't see a point in all that celebration.
I just
don't want anything.
Right. Well, and especially they would tell you that they'd be very disappointed, and thanks, Carter, for the Andy, if they don't go farther than this.
Right, but they would be disappointed if they don't go further than this and they don't celebrate.
Well, you and I are both married. This would be like having a pre-wedding dinner where you spend a bunch of money and celebrate, and then the rehearsal dinner you go hard, and then the wedding you go
hard.
Dude,
my wife celebrates her birthday for a week.
Well, mine's for a month.
So, yeah. I mean, like, bad example.
Yeah. Here is Tony in Santa Clarita. Hey, Tony, you're on ESPN LA.
I got 2 points. First thing, they got to wait for home field advantage celebration. Second thing is, it's because of all the spectrum money that the Dodgers have been so good. Look at all the salary they had to take on from Boston to get Gonzalez and Betts. Look at all the money they wasted on Kendrick and Rollins and Brandon McCarthy, and they had to keep paying Matt Kemp when he went to San Diego for Grandal, and he was still on the Dodgers' payroll when he went to Atlanta. Without that spectrum money, they couldn't have done any of that.
That's actually a really good point. We didn't think. What Tony's talking about is I asked earlier in the show who should get the credit for the Dodgers making
the playoffs.
And
even the Lakers, same thing on the Lakers.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Tony. Thank you for the phone call. That those TV contracts, Andy, are the biggest in their respective sports and has a lot to do with how they're, you know, Andrew Friedman was making great decisions in Tampa. Now he makes great decisions with a $1 billion payroll.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, which makes a big difference. Here's Elijah in LA. Hey, Elijah, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, hey. I think I'm the only big baseball fan of my generation. I'm 23. And what I really appreciate about baseball is because it's kind of the most crapshoot playoffs as a sport.
Right.
The regular season is so much more heavily weighted, you know, and winning the division in baseball is a much bigger deal because the regular season is such a big percentage of the baseball that happens. And so winning the regular season, like winning the division, it's not just seeding like it is in the NBA or the NFL, you know, it's like it's its own thing. And I just think that reflects like the weight of the regular season.
So you would celebrate like they do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Yankees fan, so, you know, we celebrate division wins like crazy.
Yeah, that's true. You've won a lot of them. Thanks for the phone call. Here's Mark in San Diego. Hey, Mark, you're on ESPN LA.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, sir.
First off, I listened to you and Mace many years ago in San Diego.
Oh,
so
great.
I appreciate it, and I listened to you on iHeart. Anyway, I couldn't agree with you more. I think act like you've been there before. And
this is acting like you've been there before. They celebrate every year in every team. That is literally acting like you've been there before.
He's actually right.
I think it's wrong every year.
Yeah, I do too, Mark.
I think it's like the Yankees, and I don't like the Yankees.
Well, the Yankees will probably celebrate this year because they're not going to the World Series every year. But, Mark, thank you for the fun, and especially thank you for listening to us for all those years. Bergman, are you surprised that two people have agreed with me? I thought I might be on an island here.
I thought you might have been on an island, too. But, no, it's just, look, we don't celebrate enough things in general, and we poo-poo things too much. Well, they're doing something fantastic. They won a division after losing it last year, so they know that it could just drop at any moment. It doesn't. You're not guaranteed a division title every year. You have 162 games. Celebrate. It's a thing that we should be celebrating more things.
Yeah, but I mean, why didn't they celebrate two nights ago?
I mean, they were going to make the playoffs.
Overkill.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's...
Wait a minute. That's my argument about this, it's overkill.
Just doing it 2 days in a row or mm-hmm. 2 out of 3 days would be overkill. I don't mean the celebration. I mean, like, the logistics of it. If, say, making the playoffs and clinching the division had a 3-week gap as opposed to a 48-hour gap, maybe they celebrate twice. But the idea of doing this twice in 3 days might have felt like overkill.
Hmm. Yeah, celebrate.
Celebrate, you see? Here's Lewis, L.A. Hey, Lewis, you're on ESPN L.A.
John, celebrate, man. You're a Laker guy. I know what you think about because the Lakers don't take those trophies, right?
Right.
So why should anybody else take them? Let the guys celebrate, John. Have fun, man.
Okay, so if they win again tonight, should they do another champagne bath?
I say yeah.
No.
Hey,
you know what? I like Lewis's approach. Just do this after every single game. It's like, remember Magic's debut when the Lakers won in his debut and he jumped into Kareem's arms?
Right.
And Kareem was like, relax, man. We got 81 more of these. And he's like, if we win 81 times, I'm going to jump into your arms 81 more times. Do the champagne and the beer after every win. Just make baseball super fun. It's got a lot of catching up to do.
Really? Every win,
yeah.
You want to do a champagne
Why
celebration?
Not?
Have you ever been in a locker room
yes.
when there's a champagne
yeah,
celebration?
Yeah, I've been for the Dodgers and the Lakers.
Yeah, I've been in a bunch of them. It's fun.
It is fun.
That's for sure. I think who's ever paying for the champagne might object to your plan of celebrating after every single freaking game.
Ain't my money.
Did you wear goggles on it? Because Dave Vasse last night was like blinking his eyes like crazy because it was all
in
his face.
Well, let me tell you something. Vasse's allowed to do it every once since he broke his wrist and 6 ribs going down the slide in Milwaukee. I mean, I wouldn't have blamed him if he would have shown up in an armored
Poor
suit.
Poor Vasse probably had to wear a cover over his cast because you can't get it wet.
Oh, that's true. It looked like he had a soft cast.
Oh, okay.
I think you can do those. But I make this argument every year, and every year people do what Bergman's doing, and they say, you know, hey, let them celebrate. You guys, yeah.
Celebrate.
I just don't see what you're worried about.
I'm not worried about anything. I just think it's overkill. I'm why celebrate something that doesn't mean anything to you?
But winning the division.
No, it doesn't mean anything to you.
Right.
It means something to them. It may mean nothing to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the one playing the game. It means something to them, clearly, because they're celebrating.
It's also the division. It's not just making the playoffs. You won the division. By the way, they won a division before any other team made a playoff berth.
Right.
It's crazy.
Oh, they're historically
good.
Oh, speaking of historically good, did you guys see that Aaron Judge hit 2 more home runs yesterday? Numbers 56 and 57. Are you into numerology at all?
Not really. Although I noticed something interesting. Go on, but I know something interesting.
This is how I know that Aaron Judge is going to finish with exactly 61 home runs, right? Right now he has 57, okay? With 20 games left, he's 4 behind Roger Maris's American League record. Mm-hmm. You know what that is?
Was it 61?
61.
Yeah.
Now stay with me here. You know what year he set it?
Year he set it?
61.
You know how many years ago that was?
61.
Isn't that kind of creepy?
Yeah, you know what? That was like when the MLB All-Star Game with Jackie Robinson, you know, they were celebrating the him breaking the color line. It had been like 42 years since the last time the All-Star Game had played at Dodger Stadium. There was a bunch of different numerology that went along with that.
And the other thing is Mike Trout, who had hit 7 consecutive home runs over 7 games, did not homer yesterday, so that streak ends.
Yeah.
Had he hit 8, he would have tied the all-time record. Get a load of this. The last time the guy with the home run lead was 20, he's 22 home runs ahead of Trout. Trout's second in the American League in home runs with 35. Aaron Judge has 57, 22 more. Last time that happened, 1928, Babe Ruth. That's how rare what Judge is doing. And I was thinking about something, Greg. Judge is a free agent, Andy. The Dodgers are not signing, I'm guessing they're not going to sign Cody Bellinger. Is it ridiculous for me to suggest that Aaron Judge could be on the Dodgers next year?
No.
They always get involved. They got involved with Mookie Betts. They got involved with Freddie Freeman. They got involved with Trevor Bauer.
Yeah,
they always go after the big
fish.
They
recently went after Juan Soto.
Right.
Like, this is a team that is not afraid of getting greedy. They are extremely greedy. They don't care about overkill, John.
Right. And so if they were able to put Aaron Judge into the middle of that line, the Yankees aren't going to let him go,
no,
are they?
No.
That would just be asinine.
No. Especially, they don't want to. It'd be one thing to lose him. To lose him to the Dodgers and basically look like they, you know, the Yankees, in their mind, the Tiffany organization of baseball, got outbid by the Dodgers. Like, it's one thing if he leaves for equal contracts and just for whatever reason doesn't want to be in New York.
You know where he's from, by the way?
He's from Southern California, correct?
He's from Fresno.
Fresno.
He's from Central California. Yeah. But, you know, he doesn't have any ties to New York.
But I'm just saying that for the Yankees to let Aaron Judge go because they got outbid would be a horrible look.
Right, but if Aaron Judge is mad at him because they didn't take care of him before this year, and
maybe
the Dodgers come in with a big offer.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, the Dodgers will,
you know what I say about that?
The Dodgers
Why
will not?
Not
feel like, you know what, we don't need him. It's too much. It's too much money, whatever. Like, it doesn't solve a problem area. I mean, with Trevor Bauer, I mean, among the many reasons they should not have gone after him beyond all the red flags that were there with him was they didn't really need him. Trevor Bauer was not a necessity, and they rolled the dice on him knowing it was greedy, knowing all those red flags. But again, Mookie going after Juan Soto, Freddie Freeman, those are just getting greedy in the best way.
Right. And so I think that's something that's worth keeping an eye on. All right, coming up next, I mentioned earlier that Adam Silver, there's a Board of Governors meeting in Chicago with the NBA. And as part of the, whenever the owners get together, the commissioner has a press conference. Well, the timing of this was unusual in that yesterday the league announced that they had suspended Robert Sarver, the owner of the Suns, for 1 year and fined him $10 million for basically inappropriate workplace conduct. And Andy, I don't know how much of the report you read. I read the whole thing. It's bad. He's a bad guy. And Adam Silver knew he had to do something, so he suspended him for a year. Today, Silver met the NBA media, and they were not easy on him. We'll play some of that for you coming up next. Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There aren't a lot of things that aren't good about the Dodgers right now. They're having a pretty good run, and they made the playoffs and won the division over the last two nights. Made the playoffs two nights ago, won the division last night, and now they've got 19 games left, or 21 games left, and they've got a chance to make history in several different areas.
Even if you don't want them to celebrate, that is.
Well, I mean, if it's up to you, they'll throw another party tonight.
No, absolutely not. You did it for winning the division, and that's it. Now you're done.
Until Wait, if they win in the regular season. If they win their first round playoff series, they'll do it again.
You're done
if they
in the
win
regular
in the second
season.
Round, they'll do it again.
Because it's not guaranteed you're going to get out of that division series.
Yep.
They didn't do it against the Nationals, and then the Nationals went on to win the World Series.
The victor goes the spoils, Greg. There can only be one victor.
They
only
didn't do
one
it against
World
the Braves
trophy.
Last year, and the Braves won the World Series. So you celebrate every time you move on.
You guys You guys are dopes. By the way, you heard Mario talking about it in the break. If you want to visit Islands, the restaurant with Mason, there's no better place to get a great burger, fries, ice-cold beer, listen to the entire show, and at some point we'll tell you to call, and caller number 7 wins. It's for dinner for you and a guest at Islands with Mason, Corporate Greg, and Jorge. Jorge, you're going to go to this dinner?
Yeah.
On the Owl, because it's free?
No, when is it?
When is it? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't make
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Islands. For locations and direction, visit islandsrestaurant.com. Now, I told Bergman, if they do it during the season, I'm out. If they do it after the season, I'm in. So it depends when you guys do it.
It's going to be in about 5 or 6 weeks.
That would be right in the middle of the season.
So you are out.
Yeah.
I wish you had something else to do there.
Yeah. We're going
to
celebrate with you.
All right, so we were talking earlier about the decision that the NBA made yesterday to suspend Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, for 1 year and fine him $10 million. For people who don't know, Andy and his brother Brian do a Locked on Lakers podcast. They've been covering the NBA for many, many years for different outlets over those years. So, Andy, you've watched this story from afar for a while. What did you think of the NBA's announcement yesterday that Robert Sarver is suspended for a year and fined $10 million?
It was more or less what I expected. I did not expect them to drop the hammer the way it was ultimately dropped on Donald Sterling, because A, with Donald Sterling, there was much more of a public outrage happening in the moment. There was more player outrage.
Well, there was a smoking gun, too.
There was a smoking gun, and the world that we live in, smoking guns always matter. Also, the league had been looking for an opportunity to get rid of Donald Sterling for decades. Frankly, the thing they dismissed him over wouldn't even rank in the top 10
right,
for all the reasons they had to get rid of Donald Sterling. And they often really took the cowardly route as opposed to going at this when the fight was the easiest. When they dismissed Donald Sterling, it was the easiest time to do it. I think they look at this with Robert Sarver, and it would be much more difficult now.
Adam Silver met with the media about an hour ago. Here's his initial reaction to Robert Sarver, and yesterday Silver suspended him for a year and fined him $10 million. Jorge, for some reason, first one. This one's not firing.
If any of us had said or done even
a
small...
Oh, no, that's the second one. That's the second one.
I was in disbelief to a certain extent about what I learned that had transpired over the last 18 years in the Suns organization. I was saddened by it, disheartened. I want to again apologize to the former, in some cases current, employees of the Phoenix Suns for what they had to experience. There's absolutely no excuse for it. And we addressed it. I understand. I, of course, have been following what's been said since we issued, those findings. You know, let me reiterate, the conduct is indefensible, but I feel we dealt with it in a fair manner in both taking into account the totality of the circumstances, not just those particular allegations, but the 18 years in which Mr. Sarver has owned the Suns and the Mercury.
All right, so Howard Beck, who's a friend of the show, Howard covered the Lakers for the LA Daily News for during the Phil, Shaq, Kobe era, and then he went to New York and wrote for the New York Times. He is now working at Sports Illustrated. He asked what I thought was an excellent question to Adam Silver after Adam made that initial statement. First, you'll hear Howard's question, then Adam's response.
I think everybody in this room would agree that if any of us had said or done even a small percentage of the things that Robert Sarver has been shown to have said and done, we would be fired. And I assume that anybody working at Olympic Tower, if they had done even a percentage of that, would be fired. And anybody worked for any of your 30 teams would easily be fired. Why would there be a different standard? And understanding the complications of removing an owner, why should there be a different standard for the owner of an NBA team than there would be for everybody who works in this league?
Fair question. I don't want to say you alluded to it, Howard, that there are particular rights here of someone who owns an NBA team as opposed to somebody who's an employee. The equivalent of a $10 million fine and a one-year suspension, I don't know how to measure that against a job, but I have certain authority by virtue of this organization. And that's what I exercised. I don't have the right to take away his team. I don't want to rest on that neat legal point because, of course, there could be a process to take away someone's team in this league. It's very involved. And I ultimately made the decision that it didn't rise to that level. But to me, the consequences are severe here on Mr. Sarver. Reputationally, it's hard to even make those comparisons to somebody who commits an inappropriate act in the workplace in somewhat of an anonymous fashion versus what is a huge public issue now around this person. So there's no neat answer here. I mean, it's other than owning property, the rights that come with owning an NBA team, you know, how that's set up within our Constitution, what it would take to remove that team, you know, from his control is a very involved process. And it's different than holding a job. It just is when you actually own a team. It's just a very different proposition.
All right, a lot to unpack there, Andy. Couldn't I argue? And I again, I'm a big Adam Silver fan. I think he's a really good commissioner, and I think he almost always gets it right. I'm not sure. I know he's got owners that he needs to answer to, but couldn't he basically made the point that I'm an NBA employee. If I would have done it, I would have been fired. Close to the things that Robert Sarver did, I would have been fired. He said, but it's harder for me to fire. I can't. Basically, what he was saying is I can't fire an owner. And that's why this isn't good here. But couldn't I make the argument that the standards for an owner should be higher than for an employee? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, of course the standards should be higher. You have more responsibility. You have more theoretical accountability if you're the person at the very top as opposed to the people who serve beneath you. What Silver ultimately did there was say the quiet part out loud on two fronts. First, that when you are a billionaire owner of a team, just like if you are a billionaire blank, the rules are different for you than everybody else.
Right.
They just are. They shouldn't be, but they are. The second quiet part that he said out loud is they don't have the fight for this now. They're not up for the fight. He did allude to the idea that maybe that could change or that there are processes to this, you know, depending on how players react to it, depending on how the public reacts.
By the way, why haven't players spoken up about this, do you think?
Well, I think it's a little bit different than, say, like what went on with Donald Sterling, because that was the NBA playoffs were happening. So the players were in the middle, particularly the Clippers, because they were in the playoffs. They were playing against the Warriors. You know, they were visible in ways that the NBA players currently aren't in the offseason. That could change. Media days are going to be opening up in like a week and a half for the NBA. And you know, like Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, who probably doesn't like Robert Sarver much anyway.
Right.
These guys are absolutely going to be asked. Something interesting I've noticed in all this is you haven't heard, you know, in this entire time that this investigation, which shout out to Baxter Holmes from ESPN, really began with
Baxter. It was his reporting that opened this can of
He's
worms.
He's done a phenomenalness. You haven't heard players denouncing Sarver during this process, which makes sense because they're going to be waiting for stuff to come out like anybody else. But you haven't heard them defending him either. You have not heard anybody talk about, well, that's not the Robert Sarver that I know. They've been pretty conspicuously silent to this point.
Yeah, including guys in, like Devin Booker, who's been with the Suns for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Sarver's 18-year run has said nothing.
Yeah. I mean, if I would say this, if he had built up a lot of reputational goodwill among those guys, because you got to remember, most of the players around the league, some may grow reasonably close to their, I mean, you're not going to have a lot of Jerry Buss and Magic Johnsons, or like, you know, the way Kobe, I think, was close with Dr. Buss. But for the most part, you are a very important employee of that team owner. And I think a lot of times they just see the owner as the cost of doing business because there's only 30 of these teams. There's only so many people that can afford to own a team. And if you're going to be in this league, you're likely going to butt up against an owner whose worldview you don't agree with that you might find repugnant, or you might find their behavior repugnant, but you don't have a lot of choice. It's like the way, you know, there. I guarantee all those players that were on the Clippers during the Sterling era, they knew that they were working for just an outward misogynist racist.
Right.
But what choice do they have? Like, how many of them really had the ability to say, I refuse to play for this guy? Like, that's why I never thought it was on their shoulders to say something. It was really on the shoulders of the other 29 owners. Like, that's really where this should lie. Like,
aren't you surprised, though, that players are pretty empowered in the NBA? They've spoken up on all sorts of issues.
Right, but
nothing on this?
Well, again, it's early. Let's see where this goes.
By the way, Ramona said yesterday she doesn't think it's over. I don't think it's over. I was just going to ask, do you agree?
Nope. I don't think it's over. I agree with Ramona.
That before that suspension's up, they could find a back door to shove him out of?
Maybe. Or if nothing else, there could be more coming. Like, remember when Ray Rice, that incident with him and his then fiance?
And then the video came out.
And he initially got suspended, I think, 2 games
Correct.
By the NFL.
Yeah.
There was a public outrage, and the NFL upped that suspension to 6. And, you know, Ray Rice, to be totally honest, got done dirty there because what he did was reprehensible, but he got punished by the bylaws of the NFL. The same bylaws that the NFL had been recently bragging about was so strict and would stop this sort of thing from happening, and they were patting themselves on the back for it. Like, Ray Rice actually was the only person, when you're talking about the NFL or the Ravens or whatever, the only entity that actually seemed contrite. Like, he wanted to try to do better. Everybody else was just covering their asses.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how this shakes out. But it was not a fun day for Adam Silver. Let me put it that way.
No.
All right, coming up, I want to ask you about two people. One is Tom Brady, and the other is Russell Westbrook. We'll get into it next. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hey, is your vehicle due for service? Head into your neighborhood Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. For over 30 years, Valvoline has provided quick and convenient automotive maintenance services for busy people just like you. No dragging the kids to a filthy waiting room. At Valvoline, you stay in your car safe while the expert technicians make sure your ride is at its peak performance. Oil changes, tire rotations, transmission care, and more. Just pull up. Drive in, drive out in about 15 minutes. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for location and game-winning coupons off your next Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Today, it's Andy Kamenetsky in Ireland. Mason's out this week. And Andy, I want to ask you about two people. The first one is Tom Brady. So, basically, if you've been following the Tom Brady saga, his wife, Gisele Bündchen, the supermodel, is not happy. It's been reported, I'm reading this in People magazine, but it's been reported really all over the place, that Gisele thinks enough is enough with football, that he's had an unbelievable career. He said he was going to retire, spend more time with her and her kids and his kids. Their kids. He has one child with Bridget Moynihan.
Yes.
But Gisele, they all live together. And
not Bridget Moynihan.
No.
She does not.
That's what I was thinking.
No, but it sounds like they get along.
They do, actually.
And Gisele is not happy that he reneged on his original decision to retire. And like Brady was on his podcast last night. He does a podcast with Jim Gray. And he was saying that, you know, I'm fighting the same battles that most guys fight over dedication to your career or dedication to your family. And I'm trying to figure out how to balance it. And it sounds like Gisele has him in the doghouse.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a side here, Brady, I think, looked at this and said, I'm not going to be able to do this forever. I think I've got at least one more year in me. I'm one Matthew Stafford to Cooper Kupp bomb away from going back to the Super Bowl last year. I want to milk every ounce out of my career that I can do. And Gisele's like, I've heard all this before. You said you were going to retire, and now you're waffling. Enough is enough. Based with those that set of facts, are you Team Tom or are you Team Gisele?
Team Gisele 1,000%.
Why?
Because A, it sounds like she could use some help, and, you know, not just help around the house or, you know, help running errands, like help being a parent. And that stuff matters beyond the fact that it can be exhausting, particularly with multiple kids. B, there's nothing left for Tom Brady to accomplish in football, period. He's done everything you possibly can do. He is universally considered the greatest ever to play this game. You know, being the greatest at 45, okay, great. You were the greatest at 44. Like, there's no difference other than just not wanting to give it up. And you mentioned before, like, maybe I've only got one more year left in me. There's a ticking clock. You know what else there's a ticking clock on? Being a supermodel. Like, her doing her thing. There's a ticking clock on that, too.
Right.
There's an ageist element to that as well. And she's had a really successful career.
Now she makes more money than he does.
Right. In her own right, that she has had to, I'm sure, juggle a lot for the sake of his career. And it sounds like there's been an imbalance there.
Yeah. Could not disagree with you more. I am Team Tom, and here's why. You married Tom Brady, Giselle. Just like if a major company hired Giselle to be the face, if L'Oreal hired Giselle tomorrow and said, you're going to be the face of L'Oreal, but you got to go on a world tour. You're going to be gone for the next 24 weeks. Tom has to deal with that because he married Giselle.
Right.
She married the greatest quarterback ever to play the game. Of course, he wants to milk every last ounce out of his talent. I can't believe she's putting him in this position. I think she's being...
No, he put himself in that position when he retired and then went back on that.
Bergman, you Team Tom or Team Giselle?
So I'm kind of split down the middle, but I agree with Andy that you... You retired. You went through that whole process, and she thought, okay, great, we're done. It's all over.
They probably had a similar argument when he played at 44.
Right. No, probably. Very much
and
so.
And 43.
But I understand wanting, I mean, football is not a sport that you're just like, okay, well, I'm done. You want to get back out there. It means a lot. So I see both sides, but I think overall I'm Team Tom.
Oh, really?
Let him keep playing, yeah.
Yeah, see, okay, Jorge, Team Tom or Team Giselle here?
Team Tom. Squeeze everything you can out of your career, man.
By the way, they get the rest of their lives to spend together. Why are you being a killjoy, Giselle? You married Tom Brady, all right? You want to put him in the...
And he married Giselle.
Right, same thing. If she got a major contract endorsement and had to leave, he needs to deal with it.
Right.
You shouldn't...
But if she had said to him, you know what, I've reached a place in my modeling career where I feel like I've done everything... And I feel like our children need us more. I need to be around you more. That would be her saying, I don't need to milk this anymore. And then he may have made plans based around that. Like maybe he said, hey, I'm going to retire if you're going to retire and we can really have our lives together. And then she says, you know what? This 24-week Maybelline tour or whatever,
yeah,
that's coming up. Like he would have every right to be mad at her.
Yeah, if Lisa, my wife, came to me and said, hey, I've got this unbelievable professional opportunity, and it's for the next 24 weeks, I would say to her, okay, you know, my Lakers season is about to start. This is going to put a tremendous strain on our family obligations. You know what we would do? We'd find a way to make it work.
Right.
At no point, Andy, would I say to her, you're in the doghouse. You suck. I'm mad, and I'm thinking about leaving,
but
what it sounds like Giselle is doing.
Playing quarterback at age 45 for Tom Brady,
hell yeah,
that's not an incredible opportunity. He's been doing that for like the last 22 years.
Right.
And it's more like you, John. If you said, hey, Lisa's telling you we want to have a family together. We want to go out and we want to travel all over the place. We want to live in Idaho for a little while.
Yeah.
And it's all set up and you're like, okay, this is my last year. I've quit doing the play-by-play of the Lakers. I'm done. And then you tell the Lakers, I'm done. And then you come back a month later and say, you know what, I actually still want to
do it. You want to know how he really went back on what he clearly told Giselle, because we know that he was going to be part of the Miami Dolphins front office.
Right.
Like he was supposed to actually be staying home, and then that stuff all fell apart.
And by the way, the second his career's over, he's going to Fox. He's
right.
Going to have a similar travel
schedule. It's not exactly the same, though. Like he's Tom Brady. He's going to be able to prep for that stuff 5 or 6 days a week wherever they live, and then one day they'll fly private to whatever game he's announcing, and then he'll go back home again.
Like okay. Shaq does, kind of, right?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get this in there before we go to Bobcat. I'm just going to present to you a fact, and I want you to tell me if it means anything.
Okay.
All right? Just stating facts here.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yesterday, it became apparent that Russell Westbrook has put his house in Brentwood on the market. It is now for sale. As of yesterday, something or nothing.
Depends. Is he looking for homes in Utah or Indiana?
I do not know. All I know for the sake of this discussion is his house in Brentwood is now for sale.
I'm going to say it's nothing, only in the sense that if history has taught us anything, it's that when these guys buy homes somewhere, sell their homes, it's usually just a reflection of they're really, really rich.
I think you're 100% right. Well, Bergman, what do you think? Something or nothing?
I think he's gone.
What?
Whoa!
What? Okay, does it make a difference that he bought this house in 2018 when he played, you know, for Houston or Oklahoma City?
He's from the L.A. area. He
right.
went to UCLA.
I don't think one of the
what
I
if?
Mean, I think he's going to have a house in L.A. after
I
this is over.
I just want it to be this way.
Your wish cast.
So I would like for him to be on another
what
team.
What if?
And I love him.
He's putting this this house up, I believe, for $30 million.
29. Don't overprice it.
Well, no, I think it's like $29,995.
Well, that's what they always do.
So we'll call it 30. What if he's looking around for a $77 million home in L.A.? Like he's going to combine that $30 million that he just made with the $47 million coming up to him from the Lakers, and he's looking for a $77 million home in Los Angeles.
Or well, in Indiana. Or
but
in
I, wait a minute.
$77 million
I don't
will
think,
buy you Indiana.
I really don't think that him buying and selling houses in Los Angeles, you can connect the dots and say that he's out of here. I don't think that's what it means. I think that he would buy a house in Los Angeles regardless.
I think it tends to mean just these guys are insanely rich.
Right. I agree with you. I don't think it means anything, but it's out there. That's I mean, to me, I think it's coming right down to the wire, whether or not Russ is on the roster. I think the Lakers have when's media day? The 26th?
26th.
I think that's correct.
Today's the 14th.
Yeah.
So we got 2 weeks. I think in the next 2 weeks it'll all resolve itself.
Do we know yet when LeBron's minicamp is going to be happening?
Normally they don't publicize it.
Right.
Maybe he's waiting to see a final roster before he
orchestrates. He's just open-handedly booking hotels.
Yeah, why not? All right, coming up next, Bobcat. We'll get Bergman in here. He's got a bunch of stuff he wants to throw at us, and we'll do that.
Hey, stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus today. You get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library. Those are great. Unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events each year, thousands of hours of college sports. You get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today. You can watch ESPN Originals, the 30 for 30s, the entire Disney and Marvel library, and more. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNLABundle.com to learn more.
Thanks, Chris and Amanda. All right, so Donovan Mitchell was introduced by the Cavs today and had the quote of, "I thought I was going back home. I'm not going to lie about that." He's 26 years old and has a player option in his year 29 season. If you were the Cavs, would you be worried about him going to New York in a few years?
No, because you have him through 2029, did you say?
Yeah, 20. Yeah. No. They have him only for 3 years. His 29 season.
Yeah, 3 years is enough for me if I'm Cleveland, Andy, to prove that we can build a winner here. I think that if they... And a lot of people love the way that roster's constructed. I think if they make a deep playoff run each year, maybe go to the finals 1 year, that you have, I guess this is a long way of me saying you have a lot of time to change his mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Knicks also have a long time to convince him he's better off in Cleveland.
Yeah, right. The Knicks could be the Knicks.
Yeah. I mean,
they would screw up a ham sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, he did note, too, in that same quote when he was talking about he thought he was going home, like, you know, who wouldn't want to be in their hometown? And he said next to their mom. You know, so it's like the idea of course, you'd want to be near family if you could be, but I wouldn't worry if I were Cleveland.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I think they get Greg, if it was a year from now that he could go be a free agent and go back to New York, I'd be worried, but not 3 years.
All I know is in 3 years, he's out of there.
Bobcat.
All right, so the new trailer for the live-action Little Mermaid trailer came out, and it looks like it could be pretty good, actually. Halle Bailey is playing the young Ariel, but that doesn't stop people from getting her confused with Halle Berry. Bailey, by the way, looks like she's going to be an absolute star. So how do you feel about cartoon movies being turned into live-action movies?
Not a fan. I can't think of one that blew me away. It always seems like kind of a reach to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue with it necessarily, like on principle, but if you don't do it well, it just feels like you're nakedly milking IP, like as opposed to just coming up with something original.
Yeah,
The Lion King, by the way, was absolutely awful when they made it into a live action.
Yeah, it just doesn't work very often.
Pinocchio's pretty good. I saw that over the weekend.
You saw Pinocchio?
Pinocchio's pretty good.
It looks pretty good.
Tom Hanks is Geppetto.
Tom Hanks, it is. Yeah.
Tom Hanks is in everything. I just watched Tom Hanks as Colonel Tom Parker in the Elvis movie a couple nights ago. Yeah. You don't even recognize him in that. He looks so old. But,
overrated.
You thought the Elvis movie was overrated?
No, I just think Elvis is.
You're an idiot.
That's mostly for Jorge.
He says just, that every time.
I know. It's just ridiculous.
Well, he is.
No appreciation.
He stole
for
everything.
For the king.
He was something of a thief.
Yeah, he was a little bit of a thief. Just a tiny bit.
Oh, what do you know, Andy? You stole the blame pie from me.
True. True.
Bobcat.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
Taco Bell fans, tomorrow. Tomorrow is September 15th, and the Mexican pizza is going to become permanent in the Taco Bell menu.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're making it permanent as of tomorrow. And then this is funny because September 16th is Mexican Independence Day. So
really?
Figure it out, yeah.
Okay. I've never had a Taco Bell Mexican pizza. Is it any good?
Neither have I, John. I'll find out tomorrow.
Right. Andy, have you had one?
Probably years ago.
All right, now here's my ignorance. Can one of you tell me what the difference between a regular pizza and a Mexican pizza is?
Toppings.
That's it?
Yeah, it's got to be toppings.
Is it actually on pizza dough?
No,
I don't think so.
It's actually on it looks like flour tortilla.
Yeah, tortilla. Yeah.
So it looks like meat, tortilla, cheese, tomato, lettuce, and all that stuff.
It's probably more like cheddar than mozzarella cheese. You probably got like more traditional pizza toppings, like maybe some olives are thrown in there.
So let me add to this. There's going to be a Mexican pizza musical premiering tomorrow on
Hell
TikTok
yeah.
Live. So we'll check that out. I'll get some audio from that tomorrow.
What is TikTok Live?
TikTok,
the same thing?
It's the same
now,
thing.
Now, is this the original
live.
Animated version or the live-action remake?
I think it's going to be real. Real okay. version, yeah.
I think it's the live-action
Mexican
remake.
Pizza's permanent tomorrow, guys. Bobcat.
All right, so... Dennis Rodman lasted all of 23 games with the Lakers in 98-99.
Memorable time.
Those 20, it was memorable. So Shaq said this about Dennis Rodman recently.
Who was your worst teammate, and why was he your worst?
Worst teammate? Dennis Rodman.
Mm.
He was a great player, but he made it hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're trying to corral the guys together and then the people above you letting this one guy do whatever he wants. And rightfully so. So we have to be there an hour before the game. He come in 50 minutes before the game eating chicken and rice. Big ass plate of chicken and rice. While the coach is talking, he'll jump in the shower, cold shower, give you 15 to 20 rebounds. After the game, don't take a shower. And be in the club with girls that look like you.
Ah, nah. You can't take a shower pill, dog.
No, he didn't. Yeah, he just put his clothes on and go. I went to one of his parties one time. I was like, what? I thought I was the king of the club, but I went to one of his parties. I ain't never seen nothing like that before.
All right, so you can talk about that, but also, who is the worst person you have ever worked with?
Worst person?
Worst person.
By the way,
anywhere you want.
I'm surprised.
Take me out of it.
That I'm surprised that he said Dennis Rodman, because Rodman was such a great on-court teammate. I think he was just talking about how there was one set of rules for Rodman. Okay, but no, so I don't take
I
your
remember,
question.
By the way, just quickly on that, I don't remember what prompted it, but Kobe talked about that experience with Rodman, and he joked about needing to go to therapy to try to erase that memory from his brain. So Shaq was not the only one who felt that way.
Who is the worst person? I've never been in like an untenable situation.
We got close.
Where somebody is who, me and you?
Yeah. You wanted me off the show almost immediately.
No. You, I like you.
Personally.
Yeah. You and I just disagree about radio. I think that radio talk shows should be like a sports bar without the liquor. I think you should have a lot of calls. I think you should have a lot of guests. I think there should be different people on it every day. You don't like any calls or any guests.
Well, because I don't think that's what a sports bar is. There's not people randomly coming up to you and being like, oh, hey, come on over here and have this conversation.
No, I was a bartender for a lot of years. That's exactly what it is. Andy, you were a bartender, right?
Yeah, I was a bartender.
It's different every night.
It's different as a patron and as a bartender. But anyway, go ahead. Who is the worst person?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of
it. Oh, don't duck it.
No, I'm not trying to duck it. I'm trying to come up with somebody that would have been like either really bad at their job or would have made my job difficult, and I can't. Well, you know what? Here's how I'll answer you.
Curtis, I said it.
Oh, Curtis. Well, Curtis, the thing that was a guy who used to work here, and the thing that he did was one day he just stopped coming to work. Which
2 o'clock in the morning, he decided, hey, I'm not coming in tomorrow.
Which I thought was kind of a lousy way to treat people.
It's quiet quitting.
Yeah, it is quiet quitting. Did you watch Bill Maher this week?
No.
It's quiet. Yeah, they talk a lot about that. They talked about quiet quitting. I'll answer your question this way, Greg. When you're in TV news, which I was for 30 years, you're only as good as the photographers. And so I was in 4 markets. I was in Monroe, Louisiana, Beaumont, Texas, San Diego, and here, L.A. You notice in every time you move up the ladder, and this may be true, Andy, in your world too, with editors and people that you had to answer to, the photographers would get better and better and better to the point when you got to L.A., it was like the gold standard. I worked with this guy, he's still there, a guy named Glenn Shimada, who is the best sports photographer I've ever seen. Danny Ayala, who's still over there, who I did a lot of, Jody Mena, who was my personal sports photographer for years. 3 of the best photographers I've ever seen. You would never find Glenn, Danny, or Jody in Beaumont, Texas, or Monroe, Louisiana. Like, Greg, I would go out on stories and pray to God that the video would actually be there when back, and that it wasn't green. And then it would come back terrible, and I would go to the news director, and I'd go, this was a great story an hour ago. Look at this. Well, that's what we can afford. So I think it would live in that world that if you get – as you're working your way up through smaller jobs, the coworkers you get to work with are much better when you get to a bigger town. That's how I would answer it.
Andy?
How specific are we allowed to be without worrying about liability or anything like that?
Well, I mean, you can be as specific as you want to be. I have a dump button if it's necessary.
I worked at a restaurant in Silver Lake. It's called Electric Lotus. And the owner was an absolutely horrific person. He's just a terrible person.
Just a bad guy.
Yeah, absolutely bad guy. He one time, he fired me after a few weeks. And he actually had me train my replacement before he fired me. But before then, he fired me a week after this. He one night just got hammered, just absolutely
in the bar.
In the bar. I drove him home because I said, you're too drunk to drive home.
And he got mad at you about it?
No, but I saved the man's life, or at minimum, and then kept him from getting a DUI. And then he fired me. The reason he fired me was because there was a night where we were super crowded. He booked out a party, despite it being way too big for this particular restaurant. There was only me and one other bartender, and the bar was tiny. So there's very little room for us to operate. He kept getting behind the bar, calling out, the different guests, what do you want, what do you want? And then they'd name something, go, oh, I can't make that. And he'd move on to the next, oh, I don't know how to make that. So it got really confusing, and we were like, you need to get out from behind here. He's like, well, I own the place.
Right.
I said, well, okay, help us out with other stuff. Can you wash glasses? Can you bring us new ones?
Yeah, we're in the weeds here.
Right, we're in the weeds. His response was, I own the place. I don't do that. And finally, I said, okay, here's the deal. Either you get out from behind the bar or I'm getting out from behind the bar. I said, one of us is going to leave this bar. It's up to you. He ended up getting out from behind the bar. He fired me, I think, after that weekend.
Right.
And the best part was I trained my replacement, who I knew was terrible. And the assistant manager, because he wouldn't do this to my face, the assistant manager called me and let me know that I was being let go.
Oh, God.
And I said, well, who's replacing me? Because he also fired the other bartender I worked with that weekend.
Right.
Who, by the way, that woman was Sean Hader, who has now gone on to direct Coda.
Oh, good for her. Wow.
Yeah,
good for her.
To direct Coda. She's awesome. It's fantastic. But I worked with her there.
It seems like the two of you kind of had the last laugh on that deal.
Well, her more than me.
Yeah.
she directed a Best Picture. I'm sitting in on the show. Yeah.
Bergman, who's the worst person you've ever worked with?
So I don't want to say it on the radio, but I'll just say that their names.
Wait a minute.
Pretend
you're
not on the radio.
I'm not going to say the name. I'm not going to say the name.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't say the name.
No, you're talking about some dude at a restaurant. All right. So,
are you listening?
His name started with a C, and that's as far as I'll go.
Okay. But what were the circumstances?
Just always lying to me, telling me things that just weren't true, was just like stealing a lot of the things that I wanted to do.
So since this came up, my phone is blowing up with texts of all these people saying, well, you know who it is. So Dave Singer sent me a text that he wrote Chuck Booms. Chuck Booms was a stand-up comedian who we worked with at the Fox Sports Radio Network. He worked with Kevin Kiley, and he would take every Friday off, even if the bosses would tell him he couldn't have it off. Oof. In other words, so he would say, hey, I won't be here on Friday. They go, nope, we need you. It's ratings. You got to be here, blah, blah, blah. And Booms would go, yeah, well, let's see how that goes for you. And then Friday would roll around, and Booms just wouldn't show up. And after a while, I thought, eventually that has to cost him his job, right? It didn't. He lasted longer than I did there. He just kept, because they let him do it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's guys that take advantage of the people that are above you. But it's kind of like Mason taking time off whenever he wants.
I was just going to say, this Booms character prepped you for Mason.
I think Chuck, actually, Mason took a page out of Chuck's book. He went, you know, that's a guy who prioritizes non-work over work. I'm going to do that. And Mason's as good at that as anybody.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he looks for, he'll like, okay, here's the day. I could work or I could not work. I think I'll not work. Mm-hmm. And if you can arrange, if you can get away with it, you should do it. I mean, it's a better way to live your life. Bobcat.
Bobcat.
It's time to break. I was just expecting you to say that. All right, that'll do it for Bobcat.
Oh, all right. So we're done.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up, you will not believe who Stephen A. Smith's says who's going to win MVP in the NBA this year. I could give you 50 guesses and you wouldn't get it, but I'll tell you who it is. Coming up next. By the way, Andy's game today, Game of Games, is next hour. And Andy's games are normally really good, so it's his game today. Mason in Ireland, Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace, ESPN LA.